Want to give you a couple of announcements again. We want to encourage everybody. Again, one of the ways we're trying to stay in touch with everybody, if you did not realize where you were supposed to go today, you could find out on the phone app. We want to continue to encourage you to get that. It's a way to stay. From this day going forward, we're going to have a lot of our announcements over email and whatever, but mostly through this app if you have a phone that will do that. If you have a flip phone or you have one of those candlestick phones like Bill Barrett does, then you're out of luck. But if you have one of those phones that can receive an app, then just type in Phillipsburg Alliance Church at either Apple Store or Google Play, whatever. Next River Baptism is July the 19th. If you've never been baptized, never followed the Lord, and you are a follower of Christ and you'd like to be baptized, the River Baptism can't get better than that. We call it the Jordan of Jersey. It's really wonderful. And it's up in Riverton, Pennsylvania. And we invite you to do. We do have, I think, four already that are signed up. We have no men. Right now it's four ladies. So if you are male, maybe you've told me already and I forgot, but if you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to talk to us in the next couple of weeks. We do have a sight and sound announcement. I'm going to ask Barbara, why don't you come on up here? Or Doreen. There's another Grambling named Barbara, and this is Doreen Grambling. Pardon me?
People can't hear you in the back.
People can't hear me. Can you hear me in the back now? Okay. Doreen, you're going to have to really speak into the microphone.
Okay. I'm going to go back. Yeah, hi, everybody. The trip is on. The money is due for the Sight and Sound trip this Friday, July 10th. They're waiting for us also at Kitchen Kettle Village. I talked to the man yesterday, and he wants to definitely know if we're coming or not, and I said, yes, we are. And I've been in touch with Perky Oman. They're pushing everybody back two seats from the driver. So the trip is on. The money is due this Friday, July 10th. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, we're doing Queen Esther.
For those of you who couldn't hear, that's Queen Esther.
Not me.
Testing. I'm going to use my headset. Testing with you. Can you all hear me out in the back there now? Kristen, am I on? Can you hear in the back there now?
Yeah.
Better, okay, we'll use this microphone. Okay, the last announcement that I have is we are continuing on next week because we still haven't been opened up in New Jersey yet. Continue to pray. If you really, really like the air conditioning, continue to pray. We will be meeting here again next week, 10 o'clock, same time. Tell a friend. We do have some special friends with us that are here for the very first time. I met some of them this past week. Praise the Lord, they're here. But I want to introduce to you, and I'm sorry about this, Cliff, but I'm going to embarrass you, brother. Cliff, with that cool mustache. Would you just raise your hand, brother? Welcome, Cliff Overlay and his family. Cliff is the one who plows the corn, who raises the corn. He's our farmer. Yes. I have known this man for 16 years, and I'm delighted to have him and his family here today. So welcome. God bless you guys. So that's the announcements we have. I want to start our time of communion, and then we're going to get into the scripture reading and prayer and move along here. I'm going to ask you to take your cups here. Again, if you didn't receive the instruction before, I want to remind you, there is a thin film on the top. That is to be opened up first for the wafer part of it. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about the night that Jesus was betrayed. That was a Passover night. Most of you know that. The week before, he went into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. That, according to the Jewish calendar, was the day that the Passover lamb was to be presented. And he presents himself in Jerusalem that day. He presented himself as the Passover lamb. And we know a week later he was, five days later, he was crucified and rose again a couple days later. The Bible says on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, as often as you eat this bread, do so remembering me. The Passover was the consuming thought. He said, I want you to remember me even above the Passover lamb. I'm the lamb that was slain for you. And you know, the Bible says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The reason when we die, it doesn't really have the sting of the same sting as when people don't know Jesus, is because we know where we're going, because death has lost its sting because of the cross, because of Jesus' sacrifice. Amen? Amen. I hope every one of you knows Jesus and can say, you know what, one day I'm going to leave this earth, but I got a better body and a better place to go to. So praise the Lord. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread, do so remembering me. So would you partake together? Loving Father, we thank you for your great love, that you would send your Son into a world that would receive him not, but for as many as would receive him, you gave us the right to be called your children and become children of God. Father, we just ask your blessing on each person here who, in taking this bread, are remembering the great sacrifice of your body, Lord Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can take that big pull tab. You can open up that cup. First Corinthians chapter 11 goes on to say, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant, which is in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And as often as you drink this cup, do so remembering me. The Bible says we're all sinners, and the penalty for our sin is death. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus ties those all together and says, this is my blood poured out for you, which forgives you of all of your sin. Amen? Amen. Let's partake together. Loving Father, we thank you for not only sending your Son Jesus, but being willing to crush him and to allow his blood to be shed for us. That not only will our sins be forgiven, but we would have the assurance of that, that we can stand holy before you as your children. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Still with me, church? We are live, I believe. We have been live for a while. I'm going to ask that Adam Keita would come up at this time and share with us from a very powerful passage of Scripture, which we will be hearing from again in the message time. It's taken from Romans chapter 8. It's not the passage that I handed you. I'm going to use that in a little bit. But this is from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and following. Adam, good to see you, brother. I did, but go ahead and say it again.
Soon am I on? There we go. Good morning, church. How are you? It's great to see all of you. And great to see virtually all of you people on the virtual side. So we'll read out of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. What, then, shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most heavenly and righteous Father, we thank you and appreciate everything that you have given us. Thank you for granting us the gift of life one more day. And at this time, we come to you with humble petitions. Lord, we pray for the safety of our healthcare workers as well as all the other workers that are returning to their sites. Lord, we pray for comfort for those who are still facing fear or anxiety or pain, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, or financial. Lord, if it be your will, we ask that you answer all of the prayer requests that have been received by the Phillipsburg Alliance Church Prayer Line. And Lord, we ask that you give continued strength and perseverance to the prayer warriors who are on this prayer chain. Lord, we pray for wisdom and guidance for our pastors here at Phillipsburg Alliance, as well as pastors all around the world. We pray for our government, our military, the scientists, and everybody that's currently working and engaged in this pandemic. Lord, we pray for continued guidance for the students, the teachers, our administrators, and the parents as they approach this new school year. We pray for blessings on our local churches and pastors. We pray for wisdom and comfort for those that are in recovery. And that if anyone who is listening either virtually or here in person and does not know your son, I pray that this moment be the exact moment that they will give their hearts, that their hearts will be pierced, and they will give their hearts over to the Lord and ask Jesus into their lives. And Lord, as this series of Given So Much continues, I pray that your Holy Spirit anoints Pastor Randy and the words that you place upon his heart, and that the message would be received with listening and attentive ears. And we ask this all in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Adam.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. I want to read from 2 Corinthians to start our time, and I handed out, actually I think it was Joanne Barrett who was handing out the scripture. I actually printed it up for everybody. Hopefully you have a copy of it. The reason I printed it up, I know you all have your own Bibles and you have your Bibles on your phones and whatnot, but I wanted you to, pardon? Oh, there you go. I wanted you to be able to have it, maybe even fold it up and put it in your purse or put it in your wallet or whatever. This passage is very powerful. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 17. And then I'm going to jump into chapter 4 and bounce around just a little bit. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I believe that we could go home now. Don't say amen. I think we could go. Say, you know, we've been fed already. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us who follow Jesus Christ, I want you to lock this into your heart. All of us who follow Jesus are being, it's a passive voice, which means it's being done to us. We are being transformed into the image of Jesus with ever-increasing glory. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's keep moving on. We'll be here all day. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have received this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even, listen carefully, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Hang on to these words. The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now, he talks about the weakness of his own body. He says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." That is something very brittle. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed, stay with me, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And jumping down to verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Listen, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Can you all say amen to that? Let me tell you something. If we turn that around, if we turn that around and we start looking at all the stuff and we focus on what is seen, first of all, we can be very disheartened. I get that. But if we look at the circumstances, the waves, the stuff that's happening, that which is temporary, rather than focusing on Jesus and that which is eternal, that which is yet to come, then everything else is going to be backwards. Listen to me. We will then be hard-pressed and crushed. We will be perplexed and in despair. We will be persecuted and abandoned. We will be struck down and destroyed if we keep our eyes on the temporal. Are you with me? It's hard not to when it's in our face, but we have to lock our eyes on Jesus. So if it's your temptation to get consumed by all that's happening, whether it's health-related or it's social-related, if you're tempted to be focused on that, I want to turn you around a little bit. I want to try to anyway. I want us to get back into focusing on the victory that is ours in Jesus as a gift given to us, and to refocus you on the giver of that gift. So that's where we're going today. We've been given victory. Amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
All right, there we go. Would you pray with me and we'll get right into it. Loving Father, we thank you for the victory we have because of the sacrifice of our Savior. We thank you that all that we see around us is a part of your amazing plan, even though we see stuff that hurts our heart. We know that you are in full control. And Father, we thank you that we do have a victorious life to live. I pray that we would keep our focus on those things which are above so that we can live victoriously. We know that we are children of the King. May we grow into that which we already are. We know we have the victory. May we live in that which we already have. So Father, now as we consider this topic, this powerful topic of victory that we have, Lord, I pray that you would be our speaker. Lord, that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed. Lord, that you would protect us all from being distracted by anything, even the outdoors here. Lord, and I pray that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, so that only what you would have them know, they would hear. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to go back to where Adam had read for us, and thank you, Adam, for doing that so well. But before I get to the reading of that powerful passage as well, I want to talk to you about who's on our side. I want to talk to you about who's on our side and also the accusations. Let me tell you something. Every one of you in this room, every one of you out there are going to be accused of something along the way. You're going to be having charges leveled against you for one reason or another because of something you've said or something that you've done or something that somebody else did that was related to you or whatever. I want to talk to you about it as we get into this Romans 8 passage. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome. That's obvious. But this is the same place which will shortly thereafter arrest him. They will arrest him and they will try him for being a participant or a promoter in the burning of Rome. And because of that, he will be executed. He will have his head cut off. And that is talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So he gets charges levied against him, and so he speaks of what he knows. And there's all kinds of things that he goes into in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, and 12 as well. But let's go to Romans chapter 8. You can shout amen to any of these verses if you want, okay? Starting with verse 31, what then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That was really lame. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Understand, there is a whole world that is going to set itself up to be against us. He, that is speaking of God the Father, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Right, that's such a powerful passage. We've been talking about being given so much. God gave up his own son, the Lamb of God, that we can be saved. He gave up his only begotten son, that we could be his children. And if he's willing to do that, how much more will he fight for us and give us the victory now that we're his children? Amen?
Amen.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
It says here in verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also give us, graciously give us all things? Now, verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding or praying or speaking on our behalf. Listen, I don't know if you caught that. It says here, who will bring a God? God's going to fight for us. He's going to give us the victory. He's graciously given us his son. He's going to give us all things. And now it says, it is God Almighty who justifies us. Please listen to these words, especially if you're dealing with a lot of guilt and shame in your life. It is God the Father Almighty who justifies you. Then who possibly could match that in its voice? Who can possibly condemn if the judge of all the earth has justified you because of his son's blood? Please lock into that. Let's look at the next verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? By the way, all of those things are listed in what the Apostle Paul went through when he speaks in 2 Corinthians. All the tortures and stuff. He's talking about the things he's already gone through. Are any of these things that I've gone through going to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? For as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, I love this, verse 7, 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all what things? In all these things, in trouble, in hardship, in persecution, in famine, nakedness, danger of the sword. All these things are going to hit us. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors. All right, church, are you ready to learn some Greek? All right. I've asked a very, very handsome man to come up here and help me out this morning. So, Pastor, would you come up? Thank you, man. That's one sweaty head you just kissed. Let me tell you something. Okay. Here is the word I'm going to teach you. Ready? I want you to lock this in. It's the Greek word nikaio. Nikaio. Say it, everybody. Nikaio. Okay, it's the word we get the word Nike from. Nike. All right? This is why he is my my model here. The word Nike in Greek mythology was to honor the goddess of victory. The word Nikaio, Nike, means victory. Now, every time in the scriptures in the New Testament you see the word conqueror, conquerors, conquer, victor, victory, victorious, overcome, overcomer, it's a root, it's a word whose root is nikaio. Do you follow that? That's the word victory. So every time you see our brother with his Nike shirt or you're wearing your Nike shoes or whatever, that word means victorious or victory, and that's what we're talking about. Okay, you did a marvelous job. Very good. Thank you so much. Good to see you. I asked him to wear that shirt. So, but anyway, I love this passage because he says, knowing all these things, all the things that otherwise would try to take the love of God from us, Paul says, not only are we victorious, but we are hooper, or hooper nikeo. Hooper, which means above and beyond. We are more than conquerors. We're more than victorious. The word actually, the phrase actually means, hooper nikeo means complete victors. Ultimate victorious. He says, now in all these things, we are the complete victors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen, church? So let me ask you, what can separate you? Absolutely nothing. He exhausts the Greek language trying to make the point that there is nothing else in all creation. You are victorious. And you're victorious because of Christ. We have been given complete victory. Let me tell you, church, I'm going to read this. We had better stop hanging our heads as if the roar of the accusing lion has greater merit than the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Did you hear that? You got to stop hanging your church, because let me tell you right now, the accusation that we're hearing from the social people in this country is that the church is evil. The church has failed. The church continues to be the problem in society. Don't hang your heads, because the roaring lion is not superior to the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. You got to lock that in. So if we've been given all these things, is there anything that can separate us? Absolutely not. So there's another question that rises up from this. Okay, I'm victorious. I don't know if you're asking yourself this question, but it may be being asked. How do I know if I'm one of the victorious ones? How do I know that I really can have victory, that I will never be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? I'd like you to take your Bibles if you brought them with you. Otherwise, just listen carefully to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, just the first five verses here. If you don't have your Bible, lock your focus on my voice. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God, Nikeo, the world. This is the Nikeo that has Nikeo, the world, even our faith. Let me reread that. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, even our faith. It's the same Greek word all the way through. We're victorious. We're overcomers. We're conquerors if we believe. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to bounce over to verse 13 for a minute. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. No more doubting. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Do you know Jesus? Have you received him? Are you a child of God? It says everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Are you born of God? I'm not saying are you a child of God because you are an American or because you go to a church somewhere, but have you received him? John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this, but to as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right. He gave us another thing. He gave us the right to become children of God. Children not born of a human decision or a husband's will or of natural descent, but born of God. If you have received Jesus, then you're born of God. If you're born of God, then you are an overcomer. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. You're victorious. You can't fail because he's given you the victory. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And it's you who does that. So I'm going to kind of bring this together a little bit. I hear you, Pastor. You say I've got victory. You say he's given it to me through his own shed blood. He's given it to me because I'm a part of the family of God. But how do I live in victory? Because I can't seem to do that. I can't get away from my guilt. I can't get away from my shame. I can't get away from my failures. How do I live in victory? So I want to hit that point, and then I'll let you go home. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I was listening to a radio station this past week. It's a secular radio station out of New York City. And they had a contest with somebody calling in. And if you won the contest, you got a great prize. The first question, and the one guy is Jewish, Rosenberg, and the other guy is an Italian Catholic, and this falls into it. And so the first question that the competitor versus the person on the group was to answer, and whoever got the most got the prize. The first question was, can you name the first and last books of the Bible? Well, everybody got Genesis. Neither of them got Revelation. And the Jewish guy who was the co-host of the show says, what kind of question is that? What Jewish guy is going to know that? And the other guy says, well, I'm a Catholic, and I should know, and I didn't know that. I hope you know there's a book called Revelation. Do you know it's amen?
Amen.
The book of Revelation, listen to me, is not written to tell you all about the future necessarily. It is written specifically to seven churches. It says it in the first chapter, to the seven churches in Asia. That's who it's addressed to. And then there are seven little letters that he writes within the text of the whole thing. And then he sends the whole thing to all the churches. So all the churches see all the dirty laundry of the other churches, but he sends the whole thing to them. But he addresses seven churches, and all the things that he addresses to those seven churches are applicable to us. Just like when Paul writes to the church in Corinth or Thessalonica or Galatia or whatever, we apply those verses to ourselves even though it was written specifically to that church. Do you follow me? Okay, when the letters are written to the seven churches, though they have specific issues and specific things to be praised, they still apply to us. So I'm only going to highlight a few things about this. If you go into chapter 2 and chapter 3, you see the seven letters. But this is the thing that struck me. And even though I've done the Revelation series a few times, it never really caught my eye like this. In every one of the seven churches, Jesus mentions being victorious. It's the emphasis of the letters, is to be victorious. You've got issues. I'm dealing with your issues. You've got good things going on. But I want you to live victoriously. All right, so to the church in Ephesus, this church, and I know this is debatable, but stay with me, the church that had forsaken the love that they had for the body of Christ. Some would say they forsook the love they had for the Savior. But he says, you're doing so many great things, but this thing I have against you, I want you to turn around, I want you to repent. But then he says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, Nikaio. Right? The one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He goes into Smyrna, which had been persecuted, and it had the synagogue of Satan, if you will, there. He says in verse 11, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Then the angel in the church in Pergamum, praise God we have a church in Phillipsburg and not Pergamum. You know why? Because Pergamum is said to be where Satan has his throne on earth. You thought you had it bad. Satan has his throne in Pergamum. So much troubling stuff there. But in verse 17 he says to the church in Pergamum, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, your Bibles might say overcomes, who conquers, it's the same word, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. To the church in Thyatira, church has its issues, has its praises. He says this, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the church of Sardis, also having issues and praises, he says this, the one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the church in Philadelphia, who really got it done well, he says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. To the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven from God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And even to the church in Laodicea. That church that meant people's rights. That's what the city meant and the name meant.
even to this church that puts Jesus outside so that he's outside knocking on the door saying, would anybody let me in so I can come and sup with them? Even to the church in Laodicea that had to address so many issues, he says this, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I had no idea, even after having done a thorough study of Revelation over and over again, that it really is about living a victorious life, even through the difficult days that were yet to happen. So, how do we do that? Everyone who is born of God has been given victory in the world, but how do we do that? How do we do that? I would dare say go back to those two chapters in Revelation and read what he says to them. Tells them what their issue is and how they can correct it so that they can live victoriously. And hang on to Jesus. We need to listen to his commands. It says, those who love Jesus, obey his commands. And if you are born of God, you obey Jesus, you have victory. The last thing is, we need to do it by walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. The more we quench the Spirit, the more we're going to fail. But the more we yield to the Spirit, the more victorious we will be. But I'm going to close by reading some words of a fellow named Jeremy Camp. Some of you may know him, so I give him the credit. You might be familiar with this, and then I'll pray. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The word overcomer is Nikeo. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. He lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Lives in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me than greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemies. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, that lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. He lives in us. Amen?
Amen.
We have the victory. You can either stand in victory or you can hang your head, because your focus is either on heaven and the things to come or on the things that are temporary and will soon be done away. Amen? Would you pray with me? Loving Father, I pray for every single person in this hearing that may possibly be discouraged in their life right now. Maybe they're hanging their head. Maybe they're wondering if there's any hope left in the world. Father, I pray that their eyes would be readjusted, that they would look at the one who has given them the victory, who has said, you are more than conquerors. You are Hooper Nikeo, completely victorious. Father, may we always keep our eyes on Jesus and not on man. Father, may we fix the things that need fixing, like the churches in Revelation. They had issues, And we've got issues. They need to be addressed. But we can still walk in victory. So, Father, may we keep our eyes, like I said, focused on the Lord. May we encourage one another. May we pray for each other as we are in this battle. Father, we do ask that your name would be glorified in how we respond. And now, Father, if there's anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, may that be quickly forgotten. And may only the things of you remain, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you, church, for listening for this time. I'm going to ask that you would stand in victory and receive the benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you and go in peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.